How associations have evolved in the face of disruption brought on by the pandemic, new technologies, and diminishing membership subscriptions is a question top of mind for the world's associations. What will these organizations look like in the next 10 to 20 years? To answer this question, we're spending 30 minutes each month with industry innovators leading the way in a shifting landscape. We're marketing technologists, and this is Rethink Association by High Road Solutions. You're here for season 2, episode 1 of Rethink Association. Joining us today is Lindsay Loving from the News Media Alliance. Now, she's here to talk to us about a few projects we've worked on with her that were eye-opening in terms of her data that led into a data hygiene program. It was a little bit like peeling back the layers and understanding what was happening with her data, how she can update it for more improved metrics, more engaged members, and better emailing. Let's hear from her about that process and what she learned.
Sure. So thank you for having me. First of all, I am the communications director at the News Media Alliance, and I work on a number of things, but primarily my responsibilities include promotions, email newsletters, website and email campaigns, working on the blog and media outreach, among other things.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, Lindsay. Appreciate you sharing your insights. I know recently you worked with us on a data hygiene program. And so I was hoping you could tell us a little bit more about that and the re-engagement campaign that went along with it.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. So yeah, we started out, I guess it was probably about two and a half years ago now that we conducted the email re-engagement campaign. And that was kind of a first step in a revealing one and kind of seeing what was going on with our email data. Usually, you know, with a re-engagement campaign, you want to see if you can get some of your inactive subscribers to re-engage with you. And then if not, you know, there are those who are never going to engage. So you want to kind of cull your list so that you can get a more accurate picture of engagement. And what we found was that we had a small number who re-engaged through a survey link that we provided in the campaign, but there was this larger chunk of our list who didn't re-engage. And if we had culled all of those emails from our list, we felt that we would have no one left to email. I mean, that's exaggerating a bit, but it was a large enough chunk of emails that we felt like rather than just removing them from our email list, we felt it was important to know what was going on and why they weren't engaging. So that was kind of the beginning of this journey that we've been on with High Road for the past couple of years, of understanding what's going on with our members and in turn our email data. So that has kind of led to this year embarking on this project with High Road, the data hygiene project that we're currently undertaking. So, I mean, partially through the re-engagement campaign, and then also partially through just real-time observation of, you know, sending out emails and newsletters every day, we had kind of noticed this trend with our list of valid emails shrinking. So that just had started, you know, with the re-engagement campaign, we had noticed it. And then just over the course of time, we had noticed this trend, but it was becoming apparent that there was more going on beyond the usual attrition. And one thing, I mean, it's probably comes as no big surprise that there's been a lot of industry consolidation in the news media industry, in the news industry. And so, you know, there's been some shrinkage within the industry. So that is something that we could expect to also see with our lists. We have a lot of our members experiencing mergers and acquisitions. So when that happens, our data becomes outdated. And then we usually are, you know, a ways down the list to be notified, you know, much less provided the correct data. So new email addresses for existing staff. I mean, if you have a merger that takes place and you have the acquired or an acquisition and you have the, you know, acquired organization taking on the domain extension, the email domain of the acquiring organization, then you could potentially have hundreds or even thousands of email addresses that are changing. And so without knowing that that has happened, then we're continuing to try to email those old email addresses that are no longer valid. So you have that issue coming into play. And then also staff who have left whose emails are no longer valid, and then new staff that have come on board who we need to be communicating to, and we don't even know that they exist. So you have those issues happening. Definitely, you know, we started to see that that was becoming an increasing issue. And then layer on top of that, the pandemic of the last few years, which the news industry was hit very hard by, as were many industries. But in particular, you know, we felt we were being disproportionately hit by the pandemic, but really everybody was going through these struggles. There were many industries that were hit particularly hard. But if you look at what was happening with the news industry, you have a greater demand for news than ever. You know, you have people who are turning to their local newspaper and news publisher wanting to know, key information that's going to keep them and their families safe and informed during the pandemic. But at the same time, you have these industries who are being hit, who advertise in the newspaper. And so they're taking steps to conserve as well. So they're cutting their budget, including their advertising in the newspaper. That advertising revenue helps to pay the salaries of the journalists and to continue to invest in producing the high quality journalism that everyone needs. So as a result, without that advertising revenue coming in, some of our members and some newspapers just couldn't afford to pay to keep journalists and other members of the newsroom on staff, either not full-time or not at all. So some had layoffs. More than 100 newspapers have closed during the pandemic, but others were able to keep their staff but had furloughs where some staff didn't work for extended periods. So they weren't checking their email. They were still employed with the newspaper, but it was an interesting kind of phenomenon that we were seeing where, you know, they might have their out of office on for an extended period of time. You know, our systems weren't able to tell if they were still valid, if they were still with the organization, what was going on, you know, so that their emails may be bouncing back and kind of giving a false impression of what was going on the other end. Of course, we often weren't getting these updates on these developments to be able to update our database. So the issues just compounded, you know, and that the issue with our email list shrinking and that trend just became even more pronounced. And so we knew that we needed to do something about it.
Yeah. I think it's awesome that, you know, you guys took that initiative to dig into it and really understand the impact of it. I think we know there's a stat out there that's like, most email lists are decaying every year by like 25%. But I think that with the pandemic, it was like an additional impact that people weren't expecting. And I know a lot of our clients kind of feel overwhelmed with the data hygiene aspect of things. It's like, there's so much to look at and think about. And I think it's almost like, where do we start, you know? So I think it's awesome that you guys have taken that initiative and that you really got a good understanding of what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it became necessary,
right?
Because email is one of the primary ways that we communicate with our members. So it's just extremely important, you know, that as a channel, that it remains efficient and functions at a high level, you know, and as the saying goes, you get out of it what you put into it. So the outcome is only going to be as good as the data that we're putting in. While we're still in the middle of this project, it's been extremely positive and it feels like we're taking action. We're taking proactive steps to understand what's going on with our data and to make improvements and updates. Also internally, we're working. That's become more of a priority to kind of work directly with our members, to ensure that we're reaching them with the important information about developments in the industry, And also to be able to be responsive to what we're seeing happen with our members. So, and the project has been great in terms of just being able to entrust this with High Road to do some of this detail work behind the scenes. You know, working on revalidating emails, looking at our email deliverability and our email reputation, and the fact that you all are doing that means, you know, as a small staff, you know, that our staff time can be used on other strategic priorities at the organization, and that makes a huge difference for us.
There's a difference having the deliverability experts and kind of outsourcing that piece, and then also relying on your data. That so that you can have a better relationship with your members. You mentioned, I wanted to hear it from you again, your relationship with your members, like how you see NMA or NewsMedia Alliance kind of aligning with their members and how that engagement is going to help them.
Yeah, so you know, with all of the changes in the industry and the pandemic the last few years, you know, it's a priority for us to ensure that we have the most up-to-date data that we can continue to reach our members with critical information about developments in the industry. Our email communications are primarily to our members. So if we don't have that good data, then we don't have that critical line of communication available. And then we run the risk of them not getting important updates from us on those things happening in the industry that they need to know about. And if they aren't getting those updates, then that means they aren't hearing about a lot of the things that provide member value. So we use our email campaigns to, you know, promote new resources and programs, to share new research that we've done, to update them on our advocacy work and policy initiatives that we're undertaking on their behalf that are helping them in the industry. So there's kind of this cascading effect, you know, in the bigger picture, which is that our email communications are directly tied to member value. So we want to make sure that they're receiving that value and that we keep them on as members. And so I feel that this has really helped us to take a more proactive approach to kind of understanding what's important to them, what are their needs, how we can better communicate with each other to stay up to date on what's going on organizationally as well. And we just hope that it becomes more of us, you know, continuing to be that extension of their staff, that they think of us, that we have those regular touch points. And when there are changes in the organization, that we are higher up on the list to, you know, be informed when those things happen so that we can make the updates that we need to be able to continue to provide the benefits that that they receive as members, and that we are able to continue to keep those lines of communication open.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time, and I know it's kind of where associations are moving. It's the quality of your data is really the foundation for starting to do more personalized communication and creating a more custom digital experience. So that's a great idea in theory, but if you don't have the right data and you don't know like what's going on behaviorally with your contacts or, you know, just like in general, like are the demographics correct? You don't have that data correct in your database, you're not going to be able to do any of that more advanced personalization. Do you guys have kind of goals for creating more custom communication for your members, like as you go into the future?
Yeah, so that's definitely a goal of ours, and definitely something that we're seeing as a trend right now is personalization. You know, and with the work that we're doing with High Road in terms of kind of ensuring revalidating emails, taking care of data integrity, that's like half the battle. And then we want to be able to focus on tailoring. And so, you know, right now we have a survey out with our members to gain input and insights on what they like and don't like about our email newsletters and alerts so that we can make improvements and tailor them to meet our members' needs and anticipate, you know, what they may want to see from us and what they may need from us in the future. So I think that all of that, you know, being able to, you know, it's not checking it off the list. Like, you never can. It's just ongoing. It's a continuous process to ensure that you have good data quality and good data integrity. And that's always going to be something that I think we need to focus on and keep in mind. And I think now, you know, before we weren't passive, but I think we're much more proactive now in kind of looking and seeing, like, if there's, you know, a large drop in our email list size, for instance, like, not just assuming what may be going on there, but really looking at what may be happening. Is there something that, you know, we can do on our end to address the issue? And so we're just much more aware and driven in that respect. And so I think the more that you can stay on top of things like this, the more that you can then focus on the personalization and really tailoring and engaging with your audience, and so that they really feel like and we are really communicating in a way that's personal and direct.
Awesome. Yeah. So anytime we talk about re-engagement or the data cleanup, there's always this fear of dropping old contacts. How did you kind of navigate that within your organization? Was there hesitation, like, once you went through that data hygiene process, how many contacts did you end up just cutting out completely? Or, you know, how did you kind of manage that within your team?
So I think we're still kind of in the midst of that process. And yeah, definitely that's something that we want to make sure that we are not losing anyone, you know, who is part of our audience, because they're all important. And so that's something that we continue to look at internally. It's, you know, the awareness of that is high. And I think that what we're thinking about doing is really just kind of establishing that point of contact within each member organization to confirm and make sure that we have, you know, the most up-to-date current contact list in our database, so that, you know, syncs over to who we're sending out to. And the nice thing is that, you know, the data that we are using is coming directly from our members. So we know that it's the most accurate information that we can get, and we're not guessing. You know, so we, you know, in terms of non-member subscribers, you know, we really rely on them opting in or opting out. You know, we're not overriding any of that information. And I think that the project that we're doing with High Road 2 just helps to ensure that, you know, we're not continuing to email people who have dropped off, you know, who are invalid, who have opted out, who have bounced for some reason, that they're no longer reachable. so those are all just part of the multi-pronged approach that we're taking, that I think provides just kind of a comprehensive solution that we need going forward. And so, you know, it's always a goal that you want to attain, to kind of grow your list, grow your audience as much as possible. But, you know, what's really become important to us is kind of the quality versus quantity, you know, and making sure that those who we are reaching out to are there at the other end, that they are receiving our communications. Because, I mean, that's something else that this project is addressing is, you know, a lot of marketing email goes into spam, you know? And so how can we make sure that we maintain our good sender reputation and do everything on our end to ensure that our emails aren't going into spam? Because if that happens, then engagement certainly isn't going to happen. So I think just taking a proactive look and a proactive approach, you know, I know that kind of veers off your original question, but I just feel like it's all related, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Quality over quantity, I think, is the key there. And I think that if you just have a bunch of bad data in there, you're kind of watering down the insight that you can pull from that. So it's like, you may lose some contacts that have been sitting there, you know, not doing anything, but you have a lot more clear picture on what's working with those contacts who are actually interested and engaged in what you're sending them. So I think that's awesome.
And you said something around it's continual. It never ends. That's almost like what we have to keep saying is that, yes, you can go through this process, but now it's about building it in to your everyday. You don't just see a list drop and then not think that it's any that point, not dig in and find out kind of more reasons why. I had a question, you know, you're saying you have surveys out, and I have no doubt that this has been successful in the sense that, you know, what data is engaging, you have more a feel for your data. And when you get, just a note, when you get your data from your members, that's that first party data that's like key to being successful and being a good, putting that value to the membership. What are the metrics or indicators or survey anecdotes that are saying that this has been successful so far?
Well, I think kind of what we're seeing with the work that we're doing with High Road right now is that, you know, more of the emails that we're sending to are valid. So that is a huge victory in and of itself. And then, you know, we've gotten good response to the surveys that we've done. And I think a lot of times with surveys, it's a challenge because, you know, it's typically a low response rate. You usually get people who are like, everything's great, keep doing it exactly the way you're doing it. And it's like, thank you, but I also want to know, you know, kind of the constructive criticism, the areas of improvement, the things that we can do. It's all been really positive. So that's great as well. I think what we're just hoping to see is kind of continued, you know, strong engagement with each campaign and response to the calls to action. And so that is something that is really important to look at, you know, not only who's reading and clicking through, but kind of those quote conversions that happen to actually taking the action that's prescribed in the campaign. So those are things that we are going to be starting to look at more in how we can be more impactful in that way. So yeah, it's definitely an ongoing process and one that I think that we will continue to hone. But as of right now, it's like we're kind of looking at what others are doing in the, you know, in the greater kind of communications and email marketing space. And what can we do to like see what's working well for others and how we can adapt and scale that to work for the Alliance. I mean, we're a small nonprofit trade association. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that we can't look at what the biggest company with the biggest email lists and the highest open rates is doing and see how we can take that and apply it to what our organization does. Because, you know, we may be a smaller organization, but we can still have a big impact, and we want our communications and our campaigns to show that. We want to show that in how we engage with people. So we want to be doing everything at the highest possible level and using the latest tools and technology.
I think that other organizations will also find you guys an inspiration and seeing how you're managing this. So I appreciate you sharing your insights and kind of how this project has gone for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we know we're not alone in the challenges that we faced, and we're just glad to be able to share, you know, what our experience has been and any tips and tricks that might help others to adjust and come through it better and stronger. So happy to share what we've been working on.
Sounds like, I think, Nicole, you work more closely on the data hygiene piece. You're fairly far along in the sense that now you just kind of have your SOPs, your operating procedures for checking. What's next? Is it continual on the process that we put in place, or do you have other initiatives for engaging your members now that you have really valid emails that they're going to the inbox and kind of nurturing them?
I think we have to kind of get through this this data update and then see where we go from here. And just with the continuous evolution within the industry, we're definitely in a listening mode right now. I think we have kind of our ears forward, and so I'm hoping that we just continue to get even richer insights on you know, what's going to be valuable to our audience, and you know, that may in turn result in kind of changes to our you know, to the products that we offer. So that I think will come, but it was really just a huge priority and very important to us to make sure that at the end of the day, you know, if we send out an important update on something happening in the industry that our members need to know about or that they may need to take action on, that we are reaching them, that when we are sending out a signal, you know, that it is being received on the other end. So that at the end of the day, you know, that's the most important thing. And then everything else from there is just going to be continuing to see what will help us to have the most engagement and the most positive response and the most productive relationships with our members. And so we'll keep listening and we'll keep moving forward.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, if anyone listens to this episode, then they'll have a good framework for putting good data practices in place to engage our members.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Awesome.
Well, Lindsay, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. I think your story is interesting in the sense that you kind of saw it early with kind of a small campaign re-engaging that kind of led into a much more proactive approach to getting in the inbox and getting your message out there. So thanks for doing what you do for our journalists out there. And we appreciate you coming onto our show.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.